Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
I was reading the Time magazine review of that movie, Dunkirk. Made me want to go back and look about the story. If you do the wiki or some of the History Channel sites out there, they remind you that, of course, it's a true story. I'm not sure how well it tells the story, how accurate it is, but yeah, Dunkirk really happened. Advancing German army trapped the British and French armies on the beaches around Dunkirk. There were 300,000 or maybe 400,000 men trapped on the beach, and the Germans were waiting to crush them. Hitler did not in time. And in the meantime, an armada of civilian vessels came and rescued the men from the beach. Hitler's failure to order a full-scale attack of the troops of Dunkirk, his first fatal mistake of the war, that 338,000 soldiers were evacuated from the beaches, would seem to uphold that view. And so in Time magazine, they tell the story. And Stephanie Zaharik's review is really good. I don't have time to read it all here, but just the opening sentences are these. Most days we appear to live in a world gone mad. A time and place in which ignorance of history is treated as a kind of virtuous purity. But sometimes, cosmically, the right movie arrives at just the right time. Right now, Christopher Nolan's Dunkirk feels like a salve. Its visual and sound effects are elaborate and impressive. This is a grand spectacle, not an empty one. A rare example of the Hollywood blockbuster dollar well spent. Dunkirk is extraordinary, not just because it's ambitious and beautifully executed, but because Nolan, who both wrote and directed it, has put so much care into its emotional details. Oh, I'm in. Stephanie, I haven't seen the movie yet. You obviously have, but what a well-written written review, and I'm glad to hear that the movie sounds pretty good, huh?
Oh, gosh. Well, thank you. And the way you read that opening, you did a great job. Wow.
Yeah, I get all the credit. I didn't make the movie. I didn't write the review. I'll take all the credit for reading what you did. Did you know it was going to be good? I mean, was the buzz that this is really going to be terrific?
Well, you know, Christopher Nolan has a lot of really rabid fans, people who just love his work. They love him no matter what he does, and I am not one of those people. In fact, I have really loved exactly one of his films, and it was a short movie that he directed, a documentary a few years ago about the Quay brothers, who were these wonderful British animators. But I don't love Christopher Nolan's films at all. You know, I went in with as open a mind as possible. Of course, we all have things that we love and don't love, and I was maybe a little bit apprehensive, but this movie just floored me. It is so beautiful. It's beautifully made. I really think it's definitely his best movie, and I think it will also work for a very broad audience.
I just alluded to the story, you know, what the movie's about. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, well, you basically got the details exactly right. And the thing about Dunkirk is that story, how these Allied soldiers were trapped on this French beach, and there were some military transport ships that came to rescue them, but there were very few. The problem was they didn't have enough military transports to get all of those guys off the beach. So these individual, you know, private boat owners, you know, got the call. They realized that, you know, there was this place for them to step in and rescue these guys, and they took off in their little boats across the channel. And I think, of course, people who are interested in World War II history, Americans, you know, people all over the world kind of know this story. But to English people in particular, it's very important. It's very significant. And Nolan has actually talked about this in interviews. There's this thing called the Dunkirk spirit, this concept of, yes, like we'll band together and we'll get it done. And, you know, I think it's something that maybe you know, the sort of average American audience, maybe especially young people, don't know that much about the story, and this is a way of introducing them to it.
Well, how did the word get out? They didn't have Facebook back then, so how did the government announce, hey, everybody, we're trapped, we're doomed, let everybody jump in your boats, or how did the word get out?
You know, I'm not sure exactly how that happened. I mean, I know the military was involved in, you know, getting these guys to, you know, to go out in their boats. So I'm not really sure if they went door to door. I mean, obviously, you know, they're even telephones were not necessarily always used then. So that actually is a good question. But I do know, you know, obviously this was written about in news accounts at the time.
Yeah,
and
sure.
It was, it's one of those things that maybe people romanticized it a little bit because it is such a great story. But I'm not really sure about that. I mean, I think.
Well, that's okay. But the truth is, though, 700 boats or so went to save 350 or so thousand men that were trapped on the beaches.
Yeah, and in some cases, well, one of the problems was on the beach, like, you know, a ship just couldn't, like, come up on the beach and pick up the guys. They had to walk out on this concrete and wooden structure called the mole that was, like, going out, you know, into the channel. But even the transport ships couldn't really get that close to them, but the little boats could. So in a lot of cases, I think the little boats just kind of helped, you know, ferry them to you know, to the bigger boats. I mean, I think their role was, you know, like they just kind of fulfilled various functions in this rescue, but obviously were central to it.
You see the trailers and, you know, the old man and the young boy, and they say, we may die, but we can't let them die there. We've got to go. And it sounds kind of Hollywood that way, but it also seems kind of authentic, too.
Yeah, well, it is a little Hollywood, and I think that is to its credit, that Nolan, in this movie, more than any other film that he's made, you know, whether it's like The Dark Knight or Inception or Interstellar, this film shows that he really is rooted in the classic Hollywood filmmaking tradition. And I say that because a lot of his films feature a lot of dialogue. There's a lot of exposition, like explaining the complicated mm-hmm. plots. And this film, there's very little dialogue. It's mostly visual storytelling, and he pays a lot of attention to his actors' faces, which I think is what really makes the movie work.
One last thing about this. I understand the O.J. Simpson parole board is just coming back. We're going to cut this interview a little short so that we can hear what happened there. But when I watch the trailers, too, I wonder if I'm going to get myself into a film where I'm really going to see the savages of war and ravages of war, and I don't know if I want to see that. Is it brutal and gory and tough to watch?
No, you know, it isn't gory at all. It's, if you're thinking, oh, is it like, you know, the opening of Private Ryan?
That's what I was worried about.
It is a very intense experience, and it's a thriller. I mean, it is tense. And your heart, I think, is in your throat. Mine was through much of this movie. You know, kind of, you know, the guys are going to get off, but you're like, are they all going to make it? How is it going to happen? And it's so in that way, it is intense, but it isn't like a traditional war movie where there's a lot of people, you know, being shot. It is very loud in real life, obviously. The situation was very loud. So,
yeah, right. Sure.
You know, Nolan has gone for that, but it's no. It isn't. It really is more of a war thriller, maybe, than it is like a conventional war.
And you call it a masterpiece. So is this an Oscar contender?
Yeah, I think so. If I were giving out Oscars, I'd probably give it one.
Stephanie, it's nice to visit with you. Thanks for your time. Thanks for the inspiring review. I'm going to read the history a little more, and I'm going to sure check out the movie as well.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Stephanie Zaharik writes for Time Magazine. Her review calls it a masterpiece, ambitious and harrowing, she says. It's 1:47. Any moment, the decision will be revealed on the O.J. Simpson parole. We'll pause here and quite possibly have the verdict, if you will, next.